puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
We're doing something a little different today on Abandoned Manitoba. I'll leave it there. I'll leave Gordon Goldsborough to explain the rest. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
I'm being lazy. What are we talking about this week?
Well, we're picking up a conversation we had earlier this year. I discussed an award program that is sponsored by the Lieutenant Governor of Manitoba. And this program recognizes people who have toiled long and hard on behalf of our province's history. Well, unfortunately, this year, public announcement of the awards was postponed by the pandemic until a week and a half ago. And so this week, I thought we would talk about the five deserving recipients of that award.
So what is the purpose of these awards, first of all?
Well, it acknowledges people who've done good work over a prolonged period. And by that, we usually mean many years in preserving to promote the history and heritage of their community or Manitoba as a whole. And this work can be in many different areas. In fact, it's always striking to see just how diverse the people are who are being considered for this. They might be doing historical research. They might be publishing books. They might be developing, operating museums, a host of other things. And so it's really hard to categorize them as doing one particular thing.
And how long has this award program been going on?
This year, it's 10 years old. It was inaugurated in 2011 by Lieutenant Governor John Harvard, and it's been continued under his successors, Philip Lee, and of course, the present Lieutenant Governor, Janice Filmon.
And where does the Manitoba Historical Society fit into this program?
Well, we assist the Lieutenant Governor in this program. We receive nominations from the public by a particular due date, usually in sort of late February, and then a small committee of the Historical Society evaluates the nominations that are received, and then we make recommendations to the Lieutenant Governor. Ultimately, the selection of the recipients is at the determination of Her Honor.
And how do people get nominated for the award?
Well, typically, this is an anonymous process. The people who are nominated usually don't know about it. They're nominated by someone who is familiar with their work. And a nomination typically consists of a fairly detailed package of information that, for example, is accompanied by at least three letters of support from the people in the particular community. And we find that the level of detail in that nomination translates directly into the success of the nominations. So in other words, packages that are long and sort of richly detailed usually stand a much better chance of being recommended to Her Honor. And it is anonymous. We do ask that people who are making these nominations do not inform the person so that if they're selected, they will get a nice surprise. They actually get a phone call from the Lieutenant Governor herself informing them that they have received this and they will receive it at a special ceremony at Government House.
Is the program available only for volunteers?
In theory, the awards can be made to basically anyone, but the assumption is that if a professional person is nominated, they've gone, considerably above and beyond the call of duty. In other words, that they have done more than just the basic expectation of their job. So for example, we sometimes have nominations of academic historians, and they do, of course, do a lot of excellent research on Manitoba history. But that's something for which they're paid. So in our view, they must have been especially excellent to be considered for this award. And in fact, this year, all five of the recipients were amateurs.
And now, the recipients of this year's award.
Yeah, drum roll, yeah.
I knew it was good to have the drums in the studio for this moment. Gordon, tell us all about them.
Okay, so we're going to present them in alphabetical order. They're not in any particular priority. Our first recipient was Jean Amateur of Headingley. She's been the go-to source for all matters relating to the history of her community for over 40 years. Initially with the Charleswood Historical Society and later the Headingley Historical Society, from placing commemorative plaques to installing monuments to helping in the publication of a local history book to public displays to recording the memories and stories of the long-term residents to giving school presentations, Jean has done all of that and more. A very deserving recipient.
Congratulations, Jean. All right, the second recipient
is John Birchall of Winnipeg, and he's been an active member of the Winnipeg Police Museum and Historical Society for 31 years, where he's developed exhibits, he's done research, and in fact, he's been its vice president since 2013. John has written numerous articles on the history of policing and law enforcement in Manitoba. He's researched more than 50 events or people who are significant to the judicial history of Manitoba. He's written about noteworthy people who are buried in the city's Brookside Cemetery. He's done numerous television features on sort of cold cases. And in fact, most recently, he's completed the first volume in a history of the Manitoba Provincial Police, which is a rather little remembered force that preceded the RCMP.
Okay, I really want to get all these people on the show because all of them, very interesting backgrounds. Okay, our next recipient. So apparently there's another Gordon interested in local history.
Go figure, eh? I mean, Gordon's must be something about the name, I guess. So Gordon Crosley of Winnipeg has been an ardent champion of the preservation and education about Manitoba's military history for, again, a long period of time, over nearly 40 years. He's been the volunteer curator of the Fort Garry Horse Museum and Archives for over 29 years. He's written a history of the Fort Garry Horse. He is the heritage officer for 17 Wing. He's provided research, tours, presentations to schools, theater troops, organizations, private groups. You know, his accomplishments are so many, we couldn't list them all. But, you know, one of them, for example, was he worked with other people to restore a DC-3 aircraft that had been used during the Second World War by the Free Polish Air Force. And then that aircraft was subsequently returned to Poland. Again, great work.
Excellent, Gordon. Well done. On to the next one. Who's next, Gordon?
Gail Perry of Winnipeg. She embraced retirement to become a full-time researcher and writer who is focused on the city's architectural history. You know, she's been an energetic volunteer with the Winnipeg Architecture Foundation. She's immersed herself in such topics as, well, for example, the use of terracotta, which is a very attractive material used for the exterior of buildings from the early 20th century. She's presently researching the architectural legacy of a very influential architect named John Acheson. She's contributed really engaging and informative articles to numerous publications. She's prepared, she's delivered architectural tours of the Wolseley Neighborhood, the Exchange District, and more.
Bravo, Gail. Who's number five on the list?
Our fifth recipient was Shirley Render of Winnipeg. And I think as many of our listeners may know, she has worked for nearly 50 years to promote and preserve Manitoba's aviation history. So, for example, shortly after she earned her own pilot's wings in 1973, she began volunteering at what we now call the Royal Aviation Museum of Western Canada. She was asked to prepare an exhibit on early women pilots. So she went looking for a book on the subject. She found there was none, so she wrote one. Her second book told the story of James Richardson, of course, of the very famous Richardson clan here in Winnipeg, his role in developing commercial aviation in Canada, and both of those books became bestsellers. She serves numerous other roles at the museum. She's been a member of its board. She was its president. And of course, after a career in provincial politics in the 1990s, she served as its executive director and curator.
Wonderful. Shirley Render, well done. A round of applause for all our recipients, please. I am so glad we have a live studio audience ready and all very physically distanced in the studio. Gordon, thank you so much. Now, I noticed that most of the recipients are from Winnipeg. Was that intentional?
Not at all. This was just a random outcome. The only criterion that is used by the evaluation committee is the quality of the nominees. So gender, ethnicity, geographic location, none of those have any bearing whatsoever. But despite that, we have found in previous years that a relatively high number of the recipients have come from rural Manitoba, disproportionate to their percentage of Manitoba's population. Well, this year, for whatever reason, that did not happen.
And what do they actually receive, apart from this cool phone call from the Lieutenant Governor?
And that in itself, I mean, how many Manitobans can say they've ever spoken to the Lieutenant Governor? In addition to the call, each of them receives a certificate signed by the Lieutenant Governor at the ceremony at Government House. But when Mrs. Filmon took office, she decided to add what I think is a very nice detail. Each of the recipients receive a colorful tree called an Amber Jubilee Ninebark. Now, this is a species that was bred here in Manitoba by Jeffrey's Nurseries of Portage la Prairie, and it was originally bred in commemoration of the Jubilee of Queen Elizabeth in 2012. And so Each recipient receives a tree and it's planted in their community. And the idea is that the magnificent sort of golden amber foliage of the nine bark will remind communities for decades to come about the good work done by each of these recipients.
So if people want to think about nominating someone next time, when are the nomination deadlines due for next year?
Well, if all goes well, we anticipate a deadline of late February 2021.
Okay, so we have a few months. Gordon, thank you for this. What's up for next week?
Well, on the 1st of October, in a couple of weeks, the 2020 Manitoba Heritage Summit will take place. This is the very first time that heritage-minded people from around Manitoba will meet online to hear about important themes in provincial history and heritage and to share their thoughts for the future. And so next week, I'll talk about some of the conversations that are going to occur at this Heritage Summit, and I'll let our listeners know how they can attend.
Sounds great, Gordon. Thanks for this. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba.